B-Pod Studios.
We just have our next guest for a couple of quick minutes here, and curious to get his spin on this Eagle season as they continue with the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday. He is the great number 36, Brian Westbrook. What's up, B-West?
Mikey, how are you doing, my friend? My Fridays are not complete without being able to speak to you. Normally, of course, we're on for an hour, but today we have the Brian Westbrook Show, a special event out there in Lawrenceville at Joe Canals in Lawrenceville, New Jersey. So I won't be able to talk to you for an hour, which greatly disappoints me.
But that's okay. Any Brian Westbrook is good Brian Westbrook. All right, so let's chat quickly about, you know, it's really funny. This is Football Friday. We have had very little to no reaction on this game as far as what the Eagles can or won't do and how it pertains to the rest of the season. Why do you think that is?
You know, that's a really good question. I think when you talk about this game here against the Seahawks and then last week's game against the Patriots, a lot of people at the beginning of the season, as soon as the schedules came out, penciled these as two losses, quite honestly. And I kind of think people still feel that way. And I also, when you think about some of the things that have happened to this team over the last couple of weeks with the injuries, with the our wide receivers basically being non-factors, I think a lot of people have lost faith on the season. And I think to your earlier point, I know you mentioned this a little bit earlier, I think a lot of people are saying it's going to come down to the Cowboys game. And really, not that you can tune out until the Cowboys game, but I think a lot of people are tuning out into the Cowboys game, which really I don't think is fair, but also, I understand the mind of a fan. And so all of those three things, you got to kind of fall into one of those categories.
Yeah, I think you're right. And even with a loss, and most people think they're going to lose this game on Sunday, and I'll get to how you feel in a minute, but even with the loss, if Dallas loses to the Patriots and the Eagles win out, which includes beating Dallas, they win that tiebreaker for the division. So I think that's what people are saying. Right. Wake me up when they play Dallas. All right, then you go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's one way to look at it. I believe that even if you looked at it that way, it's just so this is the way about teams. It's not just about game to game. And I think there sometimes momentum helps, and positive momentum certainly helps, but there is a such thing as negative momentum. And losing a couple games in a row, a couple tight games that you think that you should have won, and now putting the pressure on winning games at the end of the season, that doesn't seem like a recipe for success for me. And so I wouldn't necessarily skip these next few games to try to get to Dallas because, mm-hmm.
You got to play well. And so let's look at this game. I think the prevailing view of this game is that what Russell Wilson is going to score. And the Eagles they don't seem to be that capable of matching whatever Wilson's going to put on the board. How do you see this game?
Well, the Seahawks have played a lot of close games. And there have been teams like the Browns and other teams that have put up points on the Seahawks, even though the Seahawks end up winning the game. And so when I look at that, I still think we could potentially score the football, even though after saying that, I have to wonder, but who? Who's going to make those plays?
That's why I was going back to ask you. I hope you have an answer to that.
Well, I have a few hopes, and I think just like a lot of other Eagles fans, I kind of hope that Miles Sanders can find a way to get some explosive plays. I hope that Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert can find a way to make some plays. We saw Zach with 9 catches in the last 2 games, and so I have a bunch of hopes. But quite honestly, Mike, just like many other Eagles fans, there's not very many certainties on this football team at this point, and that's the unfortunate part, and that kind of plays into maybe the feelings of the fans as well.
Well, you know, it's funny because I don't know if Alshon Jeffery's going to play. Aguilar seems to be taking himself out of contention for this week. They have anybody left they can put on the field? I mean, they have Arthega Whiteside, they have Hollins. Who else is going to get a shot here?
Well, nobody left that we've seen production from. And obviously, there's a chance that Lane Johnson plays. It doesn't, to me, it probably is not going to happen. And that throws your first round left tackle into the right tackle position, which is not easy, not a very easy transition. You know, this is going to be a tough game for us to win. The Seattle defense has been playing very well here as of late. And Russell Wilson, of course, is an MVP candidate, probably the front runner for that between him and Lamar Jackson. And so this is a tough football game for us. especially based upon the way that our offense is playing.
All right, I got to broach the subject with you because you had an ally, somebody, a guy called, and I guess it's the NFL Network is doing a top 20. They're nominating top 24 running backs to get down to top 12. And he said you definitely should be in the top 24. How do you feel about where your place is in running back history?
That's a tough one. You know, I think as a player, you have a little bit of an ego and certainly a lot of pride, and you want to be considered that high. I just, when I look at my career, Mike, I think that when I was at the top, and obviously a prime couple years there before some injuries set in, things like that, I was an elite running back, and for a long time I was elite. But it wasn't long enough to be considered, obviously, Hall of Fame worthy, but also, you know, when I think of the top 25, I mean, you got to look at some of the old school guys as well that have did it on an elite level. And you also got to consider that many times when they make those lists, it's really compiled with guys that have gaudy rushing numbers. And that never was really my style as far as under Andy Reid tree. He wasn't going to run the ball a bunch. My style was more when you add the rushing and receiving numbers together, like some of the guys that are getting recognition now, Alvin Kamara and Christian McCaffrey, those types throughout the course of my career. So when you start putting these lists up together, they automatically look at the rushing number. They're like, oh, well, you only had, I don't know, 5,000-6,000 rushing yards. And so sometimes you get kind of kicked off those lists because of that. You know, when I look at these lists, I always include my receiving number, but I also include the point that, you know, there are times when in games for players like myself that you got to give up something to try to gain something. So I had to give up a bunch of rushing yards to try to get some receiving yards to help our team win because we didn't have a bunch of receivers. And so I say all that to say, of course I'm in the top 24, but there's been a lot of good running backs in the course of the NFL over time. Am I in the top 24? I think so in my mind. But if I just looked at numbers, I probably would say I would be outside.
Real fast, Dorn looking at his numbers, his best three-year average, he averaged 1,162 yards and 7.7 yards, touchdowns,
per
I mean.
Per touch?
For 7.7 touchdowns per year at about 5 yards a carry. And receiving for that same three-year span, he averaged 73.7 receptions and 4.7 receiving touchdowns. That three-year stretch is as good as anybody's in NFL history.
Wow.
That's gaudy for three straight years.
That really is. That puts you in the combo.
I'm glad that Tyrone found those stats.
He did, and normally he wouldn't want to find them, but he did find them for you.
I know. it's the holiday season, obviously.
It is. All right, man. Before I let you go, I don't know if you have any picks ready or not, or you want to defer that.
You know, I don't have my picks in front of me just because I'm driving down.
All right. Well, I'm gonna have to carry the mantle this week.
I will tell you this: last week I was 3-0.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.